good morning. Welcome to this service this morning. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. It's good to have the Word of God to share with you. I haven't been a preacher very long. My mouth is a little dry, so bear with me here. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21. I'm going to be looking at a few verses towards the end of chapter 17 on, let's say, I was with a group of people, a group of men from our community there. We went up to Shelby Prison to do a service up there. It was really interesting. I made the guy that was with me do the talking in our little cell group, and there's about 10 guys from the jail there in our little room where we were talking, and we were just trying to encourage them. And he told the story. Carlos Whitmer was the man's name. He told the story that you read in Genesis chapter 1. No, you don't read it in Genesis chapter 1. You read it in chapter 3 or whatever. I won't turn to it. About the fall of man. Remember, there was only one tree in the garden? And God told man that was the tree they were not supposed to eat of. Now, you remember, God created us. We come from God. God created us for his fellowship. Somebody to fellowship with. Isn't that amazing? And it is God's desire for us to go home with him someday and live with God. But there is sin got in the way. All right? And sin separated us. You remember how they, when they sinned, when they took that fruit, and which of us wouldn't? Which of us, if there was only one rule to break, wouldn't break it at some point in our life? The men in the jail, they all agreed they would break it. But we're no different than them. Neither am I. Sin brought a separation between God and man. They were naked, and they knew it. They lost their innocence, and they tried to clothe themselves. They went and got fig leaves, tied them together, sewed them up somehow. In the real world, fig leaves really is not that good an idea to use for clothing. There where we live, we get a lot of wind, about 50 miles an hour, and you'd be back to square one. Not a good idea. But they did. They hid behind fig leaves. And we do that too. We are sinners this morning. That's the bad news I have for you. And we hide behind a lot of stuff. We hide behind good things maybe. We hide behind things that maybe God created. Maybe God intended for us to do. Maybe we hide behind our work. Get away from a situation. We spend more time at work. Oh, maybe we dress right. Maybe you comb your hair just right. We do. We hide behind a lot of stuff. We hide behind our heritage. That's not a bad thing, our heritage. But it's not going to work to hide behind if there's sin in your life. You can't hide it that way. Sin brings condemnation. There's just no way to hide it without Jesus. Now, Jesus, he can wash you. He can make you clean. He wants to turn your life around. Jesus is the answer. Okay, John chapter 21, we read the story how Peter, he was frustrated after Jesus was crucified. He was buried in the sepulcher. And then the lady said he's gone. He didn't know what happened to Jesus. So Jesus met him on the lake. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And by the way, Peter had tried to hide behind a false identity. Before this, he denied the Lord 3 times. Did we ever do that? We can't handle it. We can't handle being different. We can't handle the peer pressure or whatever it is. I see a lot of young people, and that's good. Christ wants to live in you and give you that power to be who you want to be, who you really want to be, down deep inside. Don't deny the Lord. Anyway, that's what happened to Peter. So that's where we find ourselves. John chapter 21, verse, I'm going to break in here. About verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This is the third time he said this to him. And Peter's getting frustrated. He said, what in the world are you talking? I mean, why are you asking me this three times? And yeah, I love you. Now we read, if we study into this in the original text, in the original language, this word love, there's kind of three different levels of love, if you want to look at it that way. And Jesus was asking Peter, I think, if I got it right, about the agape love. That's the strongest, most committed love you can have. You would die for someone. Peter wanted that. He said he was going to do that. He said, Lord, I'll die for you, and I'll follow you to the end. And Jesus told him, no, it ain't going to work out that way. Well, that's the way it works out for us. We want to follow the Lord, too. But Peter was grieved, partly because all he was able to answer him was, thou knowest I love thee. And the word love that Peter was using was the friendship, maybe the good buddy love. You know, you like people. And you say, yeah, I like Joe, or I like Sam, whatever his name is. You like him. You have goodwill towards him. You are not his enemy. But boy, I can't do any more, was what Peter was saying. I just like you. We're not gonna commit to anything because we don't have anything to offer. Peter realized he had nothing more than like. He couldn't stand on his two feet. He had no strength in himself. And that's the way we are this morning. We have sin in our life. And we really are not, we don't have any strength of our own self. You keep on reading verse 18. Jesus kind of, in a sense, beats him up some more. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, when you got all the fire took out of you, Jesus knows exactly who you are. You've got nothing to hide behind. And you realize he's God talking to you. And then he says to you, follow me. That's amazing. You know, that verse jumped out at me here about 2 weeks ago. So I want to talk a little bit about following Jesus. We know he's the answer. We celebrated his birth, and there is reason for great joy this Christmas season. It's just passed here a few days now. We know he's the answer. We know he's the Messiah. We know he came to save you and I from our sins, and so we can be restored in that relationship, and we can have fellowship with God again, and God can fellowship with us. You know, that's the picture we want to have restored. And, okay, so if you look at the command here, follow me. And I'm not that good at English. I like to get a 70. That was nice because I didn't have to do it over. But I didn't care much about it. Now, diagramming, that was something I had a tough time with. I like drawing lines, but I didn't know where the words go. Or I'd get them wrong sometimes. But if you were to diagram this command, follow me. Follow is the verb. That's something we do, all right? Me is Jesus. He's the direct object of this command. He's the director. He receives the action of this verb. This follow. He gets followed, all right? So Christ is getting followed. And if you diagram that, there's no subject. So then you would put in the subject space, you would put the word you, and you'd put that in parentheses. It's an understood. That's just a given. That's you, and that's me. We are the ones that are called to follow Jesus. And so now under the word follow, we got slanted lines coming off. You remember how those go? Those are where the adverbs go. They talk about the verb. They describe the verb. And they talk about how. They talk about why, when, where, and to what degree. There might even be more, and I might have had one in there not supposed to be. Remember, I don't know much about English, but that's the basic idea. How, when, why, and to what degree. And that's what I want to look at this morning, about following Jesus. And remember, Peter couldn't follow him in his own strength. We have to go in the Lord's strength. It's kind of like I heard tell years ago about power steering in your vehicle. You know, the old trucks. We had an old 70 Ford. It did not have power steering, and it did have a snow plow, and we did use it. But it built shoulder muscles to turn that thing. Well, power steering, it has a pump in there that runs off the engine, and it's got a little hydraulic cylinder in there. I don't know exactly how they all work, and they vary from vehicle to vehicle. But it does the work for you. But now you do have to turn the wheel, remember. And when you forget, you will wreck when you come to a curb. That's just how it works, and that's the way it is in life. You do have to turn. You do have to put effort into the wheel. But the Lord is now the one that puts the power to it, see? You can invite him to do that for you. How? We're going to start with how. How do we follow Jesus? And I got a verse here in Hebrews 11, chapter 5, verse 5, I mean. It's talking about Enoch. And my thought here is believe. That's how. That's how you follow. You got to believe. Now, Enoch, he by faith was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there you have it. What's your testimony? What's mine? Do you please God by your faith that moves you to action? Or how's that going for us? Now, fear is the enemy of faith. And along with that, I want to keep bringing up a little bit now and then. But we want to follow Jesus, what we're talking about. And do you know who you're following until you do that? That's really serious. Did you think about that? If you're not following Jesus, guess who you're following? You're following his enemy. And you're going to go where his enemy is going to go. And that'll be the end of you forever. But here he said he pleased God, Enoch. We can please God too. All right, I want to look at Luke chapter 6. Just a verse there. I'll be turning to a fair amount of verses. Hopefully you don't get tired of paging. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. My word here is sincerely. That's how we follow Christ. We want to follow him sincerely. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And then he goes on and talks about the two houses that were built by two different characters. The one was wise and the other was foolish. And the one digged deep and built on the rock, Jesus Christ, and the other, he slapped up his house and got her done. Kind of like the fig leaves. You know, it disappears when tough times come. My thought here, sincerely, you can't call Jesus Lord, Lord, go about your life and not actually do what he says, not actually get your foundation down there on the solid rock. when you disobey, it's like putting a bunch of sand between you and the rock. You know, we make our life easy. We want to cushion that hard rock. We don't like that thing influencing us. Sand is easy to push around, but hard times will push it around too. Let's go on to, you know, and then there's some practical things. You know, loving our enemies. We read about that in Luke chapter 9. This is the story of when Jesus was headed toward Jerusalem, and he wanted to go through Samaria. He came into a village of Samaria, and they said, it looks like he's going to Jerusalem. He's not allowed coming through here. And the disciples said, Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven and burn him up like Elijah did? And last part of 55, Jesus says, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. So the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. All right? That's how we follow Christ. We redeem, we restore, we build, we save. That's what we're for. We don't get vengeance. Vengeance is the Lord's, he says. So that's, you know, there's a lot of bad people that harm us and that make it unhandy. We got to go around them. We got to do this or that. The other thing to keep living our lives, but we don't retaliate. All right, another one is the story of the Good Samaritan, loving our neighbor, finding out who our neighbor is, treating him right. We like the story, but it's kind of hard to do that. I got a neighbor. He likes to come over at about 9:30 when I'm just about to head in from the shop there, and he likes to talk. And he's a lonely old man, lives by himself. You know, everybody. It is actually kind of work sometimes to take care of the people that are beat up around us. We read that story in Luke chapter 10. We won't turn to it. Verse 25 to 37. Take time for people. I think those are some things I was thinking about. How do we follow Christ? Okay, let's go to why. Why do we follow Christ? Well, we mentioned we were sinners. We mentioned we've been hiding behind a lot of stuff that does not work out. And it's embarrassing. And it's incriminating when the truth leaks out. And people see who we are. Turn with me to Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30. We'll find a verse there. It's a big encouragement to me. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You notice, when you're in sin, you labor and are heavy laden. You're never meant to do that. We were meant to have a good time communicating with God, fellowshipping with him. We weren't meant to run from God. That's hard work. That's really hard work. And you will not find rest. But he says, come unto me. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. And there you see rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's turn to Psalms 23. Some more reasons why. Why is it a good idea to follow Christ? Now everybody knows Psalms 23. I'm sure we could recite it. I'll read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see here again, rest in verse 2. In verse 1, he satisfies your needs. What are some of our needs? We like relationships. People like relationships that work, right? Your worst problem is your enemies in life. Enemies make conflict. Enemies destroy your peace. You can have everything in the world. If you don't have peace, it doesn't really matter. That's what Christ wants to do for us. Verse 3, restoreth my soul. That would indicate that at one time it wasn't this way. Restore. You know, we restore cars. Well, the reason the car needed restored, for those of you that restore it, I don't. But anyway, is because it got old and the paint faded and the floorboards rusted through and the engine might be seized up. You know, you need to rebuild that thing. You need to tear it down. You need to get down to good metal and build back up. You restore. That's what God wants to do to us. He wants to restore us in our relationship with God. So to do that, we got to get down. We got to get down to the bare metal. What's the bare metal? We got to get rid of our sin, that rust and that junk and crud. We got to confess that, bring that to Christ. He can wash that, make that clean, make that all go away, build us up, clothe us with righteousness, and build us back up. Fresh paint, beautiful. You've seen them, restored cars at shows and so on. It's amazing. It takes a lot of hours. Well, Christ did it for us. Okay, let's go on to when. That'd be a good thing to talk about. When do you follow Christ? And I love Mexicans and everything, but I hear tell they have a mañana lifestyle. It's tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. You know, it's hot out, we'll sit under the tree. And we do that up here too. And when I was young, I did it. When I was you boys' age and younger, there's things in my life I put off. Things I should have apologized for, things I should have done different. I want to tell you this morning, today is your day, right here today. Isn't it neat? You don't have to wait. You didn't miss the boat. You're today. You're on. And Marcus mentioned about instruction class coming on the first of the year. Today would be a good time to decide to join that thing if you're thinking about it. Be a very, very good move. Today is your day. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 3, a couple verses that warn about putting it off. Hebrews chapter 3, let me see which verses we want here. We're going to break in verse 7. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. You remember the story how God brought Israel out of Egypt, and he did the 10 plagues. We love them stories. The power of God exemplified. And Pharaoh was whooped, completely whooped. And we like those stories. But believe it or not, the people that were experiencing those, they didn't figure God was strong enough to bring them into Canaan. No, no. I mean, those guys are big, and we're just little grasshoppers in front of them. You remember the story. Verse 9, they tempted me. They said I wasn't big enough. And they would not go in when it was time to go in. And and you think about the things that maybe you got hidden in your life and the things that I got maybe hidden in my life. I don't know of any, but boy, if there is anything, it's not worth waiting around. Today is the day where you enter into the promised land. You enter into that relationship with God. You get rid of that thing, whatever it is that's hanging you up. Maybe some moral sin. Maybe some, oh, it's terrible embarrassing. Yeah. But it's worth it, and you can do it. Maybe it's some grudge you got against somebody that did something horrible to you, and horrible things happen because people are sinners. We're living in a sinful world. It's very unfortunate. You can forgive. You can get victory over that. You can overcome Canaan. Don't do like what they did here. Here in verse 10 it says, in chapter 3 of Hebrews, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I guess I'll finish reading the chapter. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Unbelief, we talked about faith earlier. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. You don't believe God, and a lot of times that's caused by fear and so on, because the thing that's in front of you that you know you're supposed to do looks bigger than you can do it. I'm here to tell you, if God wants you to do it, he'll help you do it. I can promise you that. The Word will tell you that. There is no obstacle bigger than God. You can do it. You can enter into this rest. You can follow Jesus. You are able. I want to leave you. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. You are able to follow Christ. Another thing about today, today is here, and tomorrow never comes. Did you ever notice that? Think about that. Tomorrow never comes. You only have today, and the future starts today. You can change your life. You can make fresh commitments. You can do it today. You wait till tomorrow, you'll be waiting a while. All right, and then there's this verb, aware. Where do we follow Jesus? And you can look at a few ways. Where are we going with Jesus? And where are we while we're following him? Well, where we are is in the world. That's the bad news about it. Turn with me to John chapter 17. We'll read about that. And that was Jesus' prayer for us. John chapter 17. Verse 15 through 17. Jesus is praying here. It says, "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So you see this word, the Bible, we all have one. We brought one along with us this morning. If we didn't, we left it at home by mistake, we hope. We have the Word. It is the truth. And if we follow the Word, we're following Christ. We read in our Sunday school class this morning how in the beginning was the Word, and so on. I can't recite it by heart too well, but that is Christ. You have the Bible. And that will keep you in this evil world that you find yourself in. So don't get discouraged. We're in the world, yeah, but we have a word. We have God and His Spirit living with us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. I thought this was an interesting story. Luke chapter 9, it's a big old chapter. We're going to be looking at the last couple of verses, verse 57. And so Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. We were just in this chapter just a little bit before when his disciples wanted to call fire down on the Samaritans. Anyway, so they were going on down through there, verse 57, and it came to pass that they went in the ways. As they went in the ways, certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And that's a good thing for us to say, but he was a little bit like Peter. I don't think he understood what was involved. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So, you know, there's a lot of commitment it takes, because where Jesus is going is kind of out of the house. There's no nest there necessarily. Basically, you got to realize this earth is not your home. Okay, well, that makes a difference. That changes your perspective on what you're expecting out of this life. This earth is not your home. No cushy nest, no foxhole. Foxes in the hot part of the day, they go in their hole, right? And they sleep. Jesus don't have a foxhole to crawl into. In the night, Jesus doesn't have a pillow. You think about that. So you're going to sleep kind of light. You're going to be up a few times. You're going to be aware of your surroundings. So, yeah, that's what he told this man. Let's keep going here. And then Jesus said to another, in verse 59, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. He was saying, yeah, I want to do that, but not today. My dad's aging, and, you know, he's 89 years old, and he's pretty bad health, and I want to, you know, wait till he's gone. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Don't let life hold you back. Don't first think you're going to live your life a while. Your opportunity may pass. Verse 61, another also said, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And then Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I don't know everything that's implied by what Jesus was saying here in this passage. But verse 62 would indicate where we're going. We're going forward. Don't take off following Jesus and say, hey, I wanted to go do this over here behind me a while first. You're going to plow one crooked row, and it's not going to work out. You will not bring glory to God by that. You are unstable in your ways. James talks about that kind of a man. John 14, let's look at that, about where we're going. Where are we plowing to? Where are we working the road at to where we don't want to turn around? It says in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Doesn't that sound like us? Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I'm not big enough for whatever this is that you want me to do, or, you know, there's very hard things that happen to us. And we don't understand them all. There's sickness. There's accidents that happen. And you're normal people, and you deal with those things. I've been very fortunate personally. The closest person I ever lost is my grandmother. And some of you probably lost your children. Some of you probably lost your brothers, different people. And maybe that hasn't been the hardest thing for you. But whatever it is, we ask the question, where are you going? Where are you wanting to take me? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me, cometh to the Father, but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Jesus wants you to come to himself. I believe is where he wants you to go. And he wants you to live with him and fellowship with him. Now I have here a couple thoughts on to what degree do we follow Christ. And we want to follow him all the way, don't we? We want to follow him with a pure heart. Matthew 25, let's look at a few verses there. This passage has always confused me through the years. I never quite could figure this thing out. And I still don't maybe have all the answers. But Matthew 25, we'll break in here in verse 31. This is the story of the judgment, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and the holy angels with him, and then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And we know the story. And he says to the sheep in verse 35, I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and ye took me in naked, and ye clothed me, sick, and ye visited me, I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And the righteous said, when did we do all this stuff? And then he says to the goat, I was all this different stuff I just mentioned, and you didn't do anything for it. And they said, well, when didn't we do it? And I'm amazed. How could we miss the boat? How could we not get that? How could we do this wrong? You know, both groups said they did, or, well, actually the goat said they were pretty sure they'd done it. And the sheep said, I don't remember, Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 7. I was working for a guy, and he told me about this verse, and I kind of think this might fit in with what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And iniquity is the key word. You see, if you got a quart jar of mud water here and a quart jar of clear, good drinking water here, no amount of mixing is going to make the mud water clear. Now, you might set it out for a month and then it might settle out. You might settle that junk out of there. But it's going to need to be filtered. It's going to need to be, but you can't mix it. And that's what we Christians try to do. We try to write our own laws. We try to do our own thing. You know, we say, well, yeah, Lord, I know, but I want to do my own thing. Or let's say, you got to keep that one pet grudge or whatever it is. There's a lot of different things that'll trip us up. And the devil, he don't care which one he uses to get us, because he don't like us following Christ. He'd rather have us following him, because he'd rather destroy us. And he'll put a lot of good-sounding things out there in front of us, and we know that. He'll tell us, yea, hath God said. Well, he's the liar and the father of liars. So we know that too. So don't fall for this iniquity thing. That will nullify any good works you've ever meant to do, let alone any that you did. It will, God wants a pure heart. He really does. He wants us to follow him all the way. And I think that's what'll upset us is if we try to mix good with bad. Another verse would be, let me see, I don't know if I got the right verse there. It refers to, as ye have done it unto the least, in that first passage I was reading. And that would indicate to what degree we follow Christ. As to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And, you know, I don't know what your feeling is on President Obama, but if he would come by and he would need help, which is not a good chance of that, but you would help him. He's a dignitary, or however you say that. And you respect him because he is president, whether or not, you know, whatever. He's a president. And for that, he receives some kind of respect. Well, he'd come by, you would help him. Okay, well, what about those welfare bums? We call them bums. We call them, pretty bad names. We wouldn't call him, what about that presidential bum? You know, we classify, we're partial, we are. That's just the way we operate. But that's not how Christ wants his people to do. If he is on welfare, God still loves him. And I think we got to be careful, and myself included. I'm as bad as anybody, and so I'm preaching to myself. Treat people as you would want to treat Christ if he were here, the King of Kings. How would you treat that poor soul that has no job and no skip in his step? He's beat down. He doesn't want to even work. He doesn't care. He's on depression pills or whatever, maybe worse pills. And those people need Christ too. Okay, and then I was looking at a verse in Revelations. If we with a pure heart, you know, Christ rebuked his disciples. And he told them, you know not what spirit you're of, you know. If we follow Christ with the right spirit and humbly, really, really honestly seek him and want to do it right, he'll take us home to be with him. That's what he promised. Revelations chapter 19. I want to give you a little bit of a picture of what I see for us as church people, as people that care about Christ. I hope each one of you are here because you're wanting to follow Christ. You came here on purpose, and that's good. And I just want to encourage you with this picture. Revelations 19:11, we're going to break in there. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Lord, the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And verse 14 is what I want us to notice. The armies which were in heaven followed him. And we follow Christ here. We do our best. We should. But I believe in heaven we'll still be following Christ. Maybe this is our training grounds. Maybe this is boot camp, so to speak, where we learn commitment. We learn dedication. And if we can follow him here, we got a glorious victory to win in heaven. We can go with the Lord and be in his army in heaven. And I might be taking this out of context. I hope not. I think actually that his angels, You know, John, he fell down and was going to worship that angel, and the angel, he told him, don't do it. And he said, I'm of your fellow servants, so of the prophets. He used to be a prophet, this angel. So that would indicate that, people on earth do God's work in heaven when they get there. And I like to think that, we can follow Christ in heaven. And I like to look at what we're clothed in. The last verse, we're going to be following him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know, there's so many times we slip up and we don't follow God the way we should. And we make his heart sad. And if God cries, he cries at some of the sins we do because we forget to look up. We forget to honor him. But he's going to wash us and make us clean. We get to ride those white horses. We get to be clothed in pure white fine linen. And that's a thought I want to leave with you. I just want to encourage you to follow Christ. Do what you know. Allow him to lead in your life. And that's all I have to share. I'll turn the time back over to Marcus.